Hey there, and welcome to Leadership Line of Sight. My name is Taylor Hack, and I'm your host here, as well as an entrepreneur with a great interest in tech. And I really like to find people that are dynamic leaders. And somebody I spend a large amount of time with is Chandra Devam, and I'm stoked that she gets to come back on here. It's also kind of an interesting time to introduce you properly. Chandra Devam is the co-founder and CEO of ArisMD, and Aris is bringing certainty to medicine, mining, and aerospace when it comes to seeing things on the inside from the outside.
I like
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome.
Yeah.
I like this because it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked. And you have been on the hustle. Like, we're just weeks away now from South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And for those people that aren't familiar, you are missing out. Like, from your perspective, South by Southwest is a tech conference, but it's also a music festival and a movie festival, and all collectively kind of like billionaire bait.
Yeah, they have an education.
Everyone in the wealthy family.
Yeah.
So you are on the board for South by this year?
I am, yeah.
And that's a new experience for you.
I previously had been on the advisory a couple of years ago, but this year I was more involved. Yeah. And South by had a bit of a hiatus over COVID. So it's really exciting that it's back and back to its former glory. I know they had a kind of hybrid last year, but I'm really looking forward to it. I know for Aris, South by has really been a game changer. So I'm a big proponent of giving back to your community, and South by has definitely been part of our success and our community. So it's been a lot of work, but I'm happy to give back to it.
Yeah. Like it, you know, in some ways it seems so long ago and like a lifetime ago. And in other ways, I remember being at South by Southwest with you last time as being kind of like last summer.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, Samantha Wolf's going to be on the show next week.
Yeah.
And we were strolling down the streets of Austin with her.
And Charlie Fink.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Charlie's a couple of weeks from now.
That's right. Yeah. I think that was like 2017, 18?
Mm-hmm. 18, I believe.
I don't know. Yeah. It's been, I think you were there our first year when we won the pitch off, which was a big deal for us. I'm not sure if you came for the book launch, but like most of our milestones, if I look back with Aris, like our major ones, our first NASA win was there, was at South by Southwest. So it has a really, warm space in my heart as a conference. I mean, CES obviously does too, but for anyone who's listening, who's a tech company or a film filmmaker or a musician, South by is a really great launching point and a place to like get an audience. TechCrunch is too for tech, but it's an interesting hybrid of all this kind of meeting of the minds of people who are, you know, content providers, filmmakers, musicians, really people in their lane doing amazing things, much like your podcast. So I'm glad you're coming.
That's very kind. I like how you slipped that in there. I think it was a magical place too.
Yeah.
Like for anybody who hasn't had the experience, I'll mm-hmm. give you some snapshots. I remember sitting on a bench with someone who was at South by Southwest because they were in a big change in their life. His name is Eugenio Pimenta. I think I'm saying it properly. But I had a conversation with this guy for about 40 minutes, and you could see that he was at this milestone. He came from South America, and he was talking about having been an engineer and being involved in technology, but having this draw to music, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I connected with that person for a brief period then, and we stayed connected on social media, and I watched him live his dream. I watched him open this amazing place for music. It was both a store and lessons and kind of a community experience. And this guy, like seeing people at South by Southwest, these happenstance instances,
yeah.
and then watching them like hit it is yeah. just, it's amazing.
I'm wondering, so do you think he would have had that same success if he hadn't gone from South America and been in at South by. How much of his success do you think was attributed to people he met there and inspiration he got there?
Well, I remember him telling me that it was a very hard time for him to leave certainty to go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you dunk yourself in that experience at South by Southwest of people that literally, like, it would be like being on a giant airplane and you're uncertain about jumping and everybody else has parachutes. And some people are super excited about going. And then you start to kind of feel left out.
Right? And the wall disappears and off you go. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that it's interesting. A lot of people, I don't know what, I know my first time there, I was not expecting what it was. It was exhausting, exhilarating. There was a lot happening. I don't know. You were only there for a couple of days, right? I know you jumped in and then you were gone, but
yeah, I think I was there for like 4 days, which was surprising because like you texted me to come to Texas and I did.
Yeah, I said, well, because we were doing our pitch off and I don't know if we'd won our division before you came, but I know I was like, we're in this pitch off and do you want to come and help us practice? And can you get on an airplane? And you're like, okay. And you showed up with t-shirts and everything. And yep. this was really when Aris was starting out. So I think this is before we'd done any fundraising. We were still bootstrapping everything. And it was a way for us to like kind of kick the tires and see if people are interested in the concept. And you flew in. Yeah, it must have been over a weekend, right?
No. It was Friday morning.
Yeah.
And the first pitch was Saturday and the second one was Sunday.
Oh, that's right. I was mad that we made the finals because I wanted to go see Westworld.
Remember that? Had so many conversations that week because there was these major events like the Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was amazing. That's another kind of snapshot. Like, I remember specifically seeing you standing in a neon tunnel.
Yeah.
As we walked into a party that had staff. It had people in costumes there to create atmosphere and the real DeLorean from the movies, just like sitting in a 1980s living room.
It was a tunnel into the 80s. I don't know if you remember, but the bar was playing like 80s retro music and they were serving 80s retro drinks. Like, pina coladas and like cranberry tea, like cocktails, like stuff that, you know, everyone was drinking in the 80s and it was like Madonna playing. And then you had the DeLorean and you had kind of like an 80s vintage parents' basement set up. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I ended up playing a lot of Pac-Man in the basement. You went off upstairs somewhere.
Yes, I ended up, I wanted to go and try the new HTC Vive Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
I think it was the Vive 2 Pro, maybe. But I got bumped out of line by like a film director.
Yeah.
And the
movie premiere. So
yeah, it was just like, it was just a wild experience. And that's kind of like the night side of South by Southwest was pretty much like that every night.
Yeah, I feel like we were lining up for that party. I think, yeah, because we were there with Charlie Fink and we lined up for it. And I feel like we were lining up. We'd been somewhere else, then went there and it was like 1 a.m. And I feel like we left and the sun was up. Well, I don't know if you left with us.
No, we ended up on the front lawn of a house. Remember the barbecue thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a really neat experience. And it's tough to package verbally because it kind of sounds a little crazy.
Oh, Rainy Street has bars that are houses. Yes, I know where you're talking about.
Circus and they were themed to the countries, if I remember.
Yeah, that's
some of these memories are a little foggy.
Yeah, it was exhausting. But that's the energy that's there. But I think you met some interesting people online there too as well, didn't you? When you got bumped?
Yes, but that's the, that was the craziest thing. Like, I remember being in a haze and turning around and I was reading a book by Ray Dalio, his Principles.
Yeah.
And he was the founder of a hedge fund company called Bridgewater.
Right.
And we were standing in line and I turned around and I looked down and a lot of people are wearing name tags. Like, you have to wear your premium or VIP name tag to get into some of these events. And I see the name tag and it says Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. And I look up and I'm like, you work for Ray, which is kind of a silly thing to say because Ray is the founder and is just on the board now. But I was talking to a guy named CJ Halaby. And at the time he was the COO of Bridgewater. but it's just like a happenstance meeting, so like people that we had tacos with.
Yeah. Right? So Whirly and yeah.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
I see, that was the heartbreak of last time, is that I had to leave the day of the Goldman Sachs party.
Oh, no, that was the StrangeWorks launching party. Yeah.
And
that was fun.
That was the thing that I didn't really understand, and why I think a lot of people that go to South by Southwest get overwhelmed.
Yes.
Like there are big events that happen in just like a moment.
And to be present for them. Tons of them next to each other. Like, yeah.
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 And you could be sitting next to someone that is a total game changer.
Yeah. And I think most of the people, I mean, I think about my network and I really have to go through it because I tend to run into the similar people at the same places. Like, you know, so Charlie and Sam, I love them both. They're usually at CES, usually at South by, I feel like AWE, like you run into the same people at the conferences. And they're like super important people to my journey as an entrepreneur. And you know, Sam is the one who told us to pitch to NASA, for example. Charlie, we did the book with. And he wrote an amazing article about us in Forbes. Like these are all people who've been game changers. I'm trying to remember who I met at South by. Maybe no, Whirly I met at CES, but he's very present in Austin. That's where he's from. And it's interesting because when you're talking to entrepreneurs, often it's especially startups. They're talking about cost and you know, the cost of going to these places, and it's really an investment. Or even like someone like Jesse Crossan, he's a speaker this year, and I know he's a past guest. I was trying to explain to him like why it's a great idea to be a speaker at this conference and the audience you'll reach, but not just that, but the network you'll probably gain while you're there. Because it's not people you would necessarily run into day to day. I wouldn't run into, I'm trying to remember. Do you know someone we met there? Can you think of, I meet people.
Well, my mind was constantly blown. Like I remember just going from like groups to groups. Like I would run into some people that I thought were amazingly interesting on my own.
Yeah. But
when I was cruising with you, it was just like, hey, we're surrounded by people that are almost 7 feet tall. Oh, these were NFL players?
Yeah, Jason Fox. His startup's doing great. Yeah, for example, I met Jason there.
He's making curated music from athletes to fans.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just limited to athletes, but yeah, he's doing amazing. Last I like saw, that's a good example. You meet people who are in their lane doing excellent work, and you know, parallel to you, and you're probably, if you're there, you're doing something, and there's a reason you're there. So even if it's not exactly the same lane, it's still beneficial, and it's really nice to have peers who are like, think like you, or like, hey, I'm also doing this amazing crazy thing, and everyone thinks I'm nuts, but I'm doing it, and oh, that sounds like me, you know. Yeah.
The uncommon energy there is imagine so many people that are switched on. Like, you know, the world, sometimes it's tough to find people that have any interest beyond like their genuine, like their daily life and maybe some sports that they follow. And to find some people that are actually trying to make these like dynamic changes in all ways that we do things. Like, I remember Augmented World Expo and South by Southwest, we spent time with the founding team from iCandy.
Oh, iCandy. I haven't seen them in forever. Yeah, they're amazing. You know,
I'm hoping that we get to see them in March.
Yeah, I should message Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, just like they like fun people to be with, and you can understand why they're doing what they're doing, right? Or Rene Amador. He had an amazing startup that did so well in the film industry. And they were camera and stuff like that. Like he just like that's somebody I'm still connected to, and I'm hoping to see here in March.
For sure. Is he doing well?
He's doing great. They're like the cool thing is seeing like announcements where you know your friends are killing it. Like when he's meeting with A-list directors and teams. So it's neat to get that window from the outside, and that connection starts in places like this.
Yeah, no, it's true. And people, again, like in different industry, like I have a lot of friends now in the film industry. I'm assuming I ran into them at South by. I don't know why else I would know people in that industry, but you know, you do. But maybe they were at AWE. And like you were saying, like, it's like being switched on. I used to call it the real world, like going back to the real world. Cause for me, that reality where everybody's just performing at such a high level. And those are my peers was really a comfort to be able to like jump into. So, again, when I'm talking about conferences like CES or TechCrunch, South by and CES are probably my favorite, but they're very, very different. CES is completely tech driven. Fun. Have you been yet?
I have not been yet to CES. Yeah. See, for me, I like my experience kind of started at coffee with you.
Okay.
So I remember meeting with you guys and in the Era story, mm-hmm. it's right after you saw the tech industry's reaction to what you guys had at CES.
No, it would have been TechCrunch, the beta, I think.
Or at TechCrunch. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And yeah. I was also coming back to Silicon Valley. And I think that, and we set up that meeting. And it's just like at a coffee shop near my office, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm wearing the headset. I'm looking at the MRI imagery and Scott at the mm-hmm. same time. And that's kind of like where it began. But immediately it was like, what can we work on? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, it was.
Talking about like what these like kind of next steps and movements go. And for me, it was like I found this window. Like it must have been like those books, like The Witch in the Wardrobe, like going through the wardrobe and being like,
holy Narnia. Yeah.
It was Narnia to me. Like I was watching episodes of Silicon Valley basically so I didn't fuck it up when we went to places like Augmented World Expo.
I love that. Silicon Valley, actually, for anybody who's not in tech, is a really, really realistic portrayal of Silicon Valley. It's meant to be satirical, but it is a lot more realistic than one would expect. That must have been interesting for you, because I'm pretty high energy. And me coming back from TechCrunch, I would have been like in mode. That would have been a lot. I would have been extra for sure.
Yeah, actually, I think that it's extra Chandra is a rare treat. I've literally watched you bring that energy to like groups of people.
Yeah.
Like I remember watching you commandeer a restaurant in, I think that might have been California.
Oh, the Mexican place? Or
yeah. And like, yeah. like they're like, yeah, we can't do this. And you're like, we can do anything.
Yes, we can.
Go in and take over this Mexican restaurant. And suddenly we're sitting down. But like, it was worth it. Like the people that we were sitting with, like Dexter. Like so many neat people.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do have a lot of energy, which does attract people, which is good. It's interesting, I'm sure, being sidecar to that. And South by is like that on steroids, because you're meeting all these dynamic people. And I'm definitely somebody who gets energy off other people. So you put me in a crowd of dynamic people, I'm like, it's like I've drank 8 cups of coffee, probably. I'm extra, I'm sure.
So what's the perspective from South by out, right? Like if South by were to achieve its goals this year, what does it look like from what they're trying to do?
I think South by always achieves their goals. They're like the most well-known. Well, it's funny because Canadians don't seem to know as much about them, and maybe not with outside our industry or the industries that go there, but it's one of the most well-known conferences that people go to. So I think they've got the name recognition. They've been doing this for like 35 years or something.
Yeah. I remember having Laura Kilcrease on.
Yeah.
And she was unpacking how she helped Texas diversify.
She did.
We're talking about somebody who is now the CEO of Alberta Ventures.
Alberta Innovates. Yeah. I have a lot of time for Laura. She's one of the smartest. I don't know who hired her because it's such a smart hire that you're like, how did that actually happen? But for Canada and Alberta specifically, she's amazing. And she really did diversify what happened in Texas and brought the tech scene in Austin to a forefront. I wouldn't be where it is without her. And again, like we run into her at South by. She's another person that's there. She's here too, luckily enough. We can see her here. But
it's beautiful to hear her talk about these like beautiful collisions, like these positive collisions, I think might be the term she uses for what we're talking about happening at South by.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was really impressed with was like the star element of South by Southwest. Like, you see people like, well, we knew somebody who got to meet Elon last time.
Probably oh, yeah.
More likely now that he lives in Texas.
Yeah.
We also, I saw Damon Johns from Shark Tank. I think Mark Cuban was there.
Yeah.
Right? That's something that I don't think a lot of people realize as well, is mm-hmm. that there's something here that's attracting them. Mm-hmm. And what it is a glimpse of tomorrow.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, when people are disruptive and you're doing something disruptive in your industry, be it, again, filmmaking, music, tech, education, I think they have a food track and a culture. They've got tons of tracks. You're taking a risk to go there and put yourself out there. And if you're doing that, you're more likely to succeed. So you draw attention for people who want to invest in things like that, right? Or how did you put it? Like billionaire's candy? Like
it's yeah, it is. It's billionaire yeah. bait.
but it's also, you know, there's so much disruption and I love the tech component there. I don't often get a chance. It's funny because I don't go to the conference. I have a pass, but I don't often go to the show floor and walk like you do the pitch things. And it's the people you run into talking, you know, while you're in line or, I think you were just taking meetings on a bench last time while you were drinking your coffee. Like you mentioned that one gentleman, but I think you ran into it. You said like, my morning was just sitting on a bench taking meetings. Like with who? You're like strangers, but it sounds like they became friends.
Yeah. Well, there's so many people there that are all working on something. And as soon as yeah. you find out that what they're working on, it's easy to collaborate, right? Like saying that you're finding people switched on and like ready to engage.
Yeah.
But I think that this year, will mm-hmm. probably be South by Southwest will be more attractive to investors this year mm-hmm. than ever before.
Yeah, people are thirsty for it.
And that's because investors are, like in many cases, are kind of a couple of steps behind what's going on in tech. Mm-hmm. Like the people that found the companies, they know what tomorrow really kind of looks like. And then investors...
Because well, investors know what is game changing in a founder, and founders are looking to fill a gap, right? So I think you need to be, I think they both have to be, have that awareness. A good investor would know.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But what they're trying to do is find more information on what's going to happen tomorrow and then bet on it and make it happen. Right.
Yeah.
And with the, like with all of the world paying attention to AI right now,
oh, yeah.
And the rumors that it is going to be deeply disruptive in every single industry, I cannot see that people in the next month are going to be booking last minute tickets because they need to figure this out. How is this going to affect my industry? How can I be first?
Absolutely. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we were talking about XR. XR was the big thing. Now it's been renamed Metaverse, right? Where everybody kind of knows, well, I think the majority of the population kind of understands what the Metaverse is, that it's an immersive reality. But we were calling it XR a couple of years ago, or AR, VR. AI is one of those things as well that like in the industry, we've been talking about it for years and filing patents on it. And now you've got curiosity from the public, but I think there's also like a thirst for like, okay, I'm ready. Like COVID's been kind of depressing. There's been a lot of like stuff going on. Let's just go and celebrate some things. And you know, I guess this is just a podcast about South By, but South By does that really well, a celebration. Like it's a celebration of everything. There's parties, there's, you know, the whole city kind of shuts down, at least the downtown, and all the spaces are rented out for showrooms, basically, of like, be it M&M or Coca-Cola or a music or Lululemon, like, and they're offering drinks and food, and it's a celebration of their brand. So I'm not sure what I was going with there. That I think it'll be highly attended this year because there's been such a lack of that in our society in the last couple of years, like the ability to go and be together and celebrate different things and enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be pretty exhausting.
Well, that's the that was the experience last time. It's a lot to take at once.
Yeah.
I think if I was going again for the first time, I would want to, I maybe would want to expect things like this so I didn't try to plan all my minutes.
Yeah, right? That's funny. Jesse was asking me about that. So we mentioned him, he's speaking. He was like, how much of it do you plan? And I was like, I think we plan the events we really want to hit, but there's so much that you're just like, well, let's walk down and see what this place is doing. Or, you know, that you hear about something in line, like I really wanted to do Westworld, the Westworld experience, which unfortunately I won and had to attend the finals, but that sounded like amazing. Like HBO is always putting on like amazing stuff. Again, like if startups are listening, this is, if they didn't apply, I would just go attend for like a couple of days and see who you run into. What advisor. You're
genuinely interested in this?
Yeah.
Like this is the largest concentration that you'll find of people that are engaged in this, right?
In a fun way. Like CES is pretty engaged, but it's not as, I don't know, because there's parties there. It's not as lighthearted. Is it, this South by, you can be a little more, yeah, lighthearted is a good way to put it.
It's Texas flavored.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah. It's like good barbecue.
Yeah. South by or CES, you're not going to sleep either, but it's a different tired. It's not, there's so much that you have hitting your senses. Like, you know, you've got music, concerts. I don't know if I've even been to any of the films. Like you can go to films, you can watch concerts, you can, there's often a food stuff you can go and try.
Yeah, I didn't even understand the film part of it because like I was coming there like but when I got there, I remember finding out that Channing Tatum was releasing a movie.
Yeah.
And that it was considered normal that he would be sitting on a bar stool afterwards taking questions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And, well, and you know, Ready Player One, there was a filming there and Steven Spielberg, I think, was the director. He was there. Like, yeah, that's, it's a mix of Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And then I don't know, wherever music people are from all over the place, right? Tech people all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is super dynamic. But you were also talking about being a CEO going through South by Southwest. So
yeah,
you described it as like gaining momentum or acceleration coming out of this.
Yeah.
Am I getting it wrong where you go to a place like South by Southwest?
Mm-hmm.
You hit your marks and get your achievements. Like that's something that I've seen you be very focused on, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then people are going to connect to you outside of that. So then coming out of CES, those connections turn into meetings and calls and take you down various paths.
Yeah. I think that like, well, okay. In my CEO hat on, a lot of what I do and a lot of what any CEO does is relationships. So, I mean, you're meeting people and then those meetings and those relationships tend to become, if they're in your industry, business relationships as well. And so if you're looking to bump into people who are, I mean, yeah, it's a good way to accelerate your company. Absolutely. And get meetings that you wouldn't otherwise have. I think going in with that mentality and that strategy can backfire on you because you're coming off too desperate. I think it's better just to, you know, meet people you genuinely like and see if there's a joint venture or something that's sitting there. But I think that
I want to unpack that for a second. You said something really powerful right there.
Okay.
You found that like, I see it that so many founders are like, my thing is so good, everybody should invest. But you were saying it's like connection over transaction.
Oh, I definitely think my thing is so good that everyone should invest, but I'm selective about who's allowed to. So let's go back there. So most founders are arrogant like me, yes.
So like when you're talking about, you're saying that you want to meet many, many investors and find many, many opportunities so you get to pick and choose.
Yeah, I think it's important to be selective about who you take money from. It's got to be about more than just the money. You want to have some strategic something behind it. Like, so something in the relationship that's of value to the company and you're of value to them. And that's really hard for companies who are like, yeah, but we're desperate for like the $10 that we need or the $1,000 we need to file. It's really better to be choosy. So my investors, I interviewed them before I would take them on and like interviewed them hard. And you were investor one. So I think you got probably the hardest grilling, but like, you know, it was okay. You know, what are you looking to get out of this? What community give back do you do? Questions like that. Because if I'm going to make someone a lot of money, I want to know that it's going to something good at some point, in a percentage at least. So if you're going to CES or South By or TechCrunch with the thought to meet investors, you want to be looking at who the investor is and if they're the right fit for you. Venture capital is different than angel investment, for example. So like I know Mark Cuban invests, a bunch of those guys invest. Actually, you know, like there's quite a few Hollywood guys that invest and gals. So you could run into them if you're just looking for capital. That's not been my quest ever. Money or investors weren't hard for me to come by. I'd say my quest for it was more intellectual prospecting with other people for places like South By or CES. It's like, tell me what you're doing. That's interesting. When you surround yourself with people who are like-minded, and you just generally do that anyway, you tend to push yourself forward and they'll push you and be like, oh, have you considered it this way? Or you'll say that to them. Have you considered doing this? Or have you looked at it big picture this way? So that's a value to me, just the peers. But yeah, you could. It's not a bad place to go and get investment. That's for sure. At least start the conversations. You can do like almost like these speed dating sessions that they have. I don't know that you'll meet like big, like Sequoia or Shasta Ventures. Well, they're a great fund and their founder is amazing. But you might. Yeah, they're around. And they host events. So, but I wouldn't be too desperate going and pitching at them. Again, investors weren't hard for me to find, so I never had to do that approach. But I think that that's one of the major things on startups' minds when they start out is, okay, how do we get capital to expand?
I think so too. And like, sometimes that's too high priority, like you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting texts from Scott right now saying that we're pre-live on LinkedIn. We're streaming everywhere else. Everything is working as it is. So we'll end up posting this to LinkedIn later. But I think that's funny because Scott's your co-founder.
And he's apparently also your tech support. Without needing to be or requesting it. He's just your automatic tech support, by the way.
That's a beautiful thing for being friends with people that have superpowers. It's like Scott might fix it by fixing LinkedIn. I'm not even sure if he chose to approach it. Like he is an incredible coder. But it's neat to see how you end up being around people and you can make more together than you could either the two of you.
Well, like you said, superpowers. Remember the Care Bears? How they all had their own like symbol and they do the stare. I mean, think about it like you're going to an event with a bunch of Care Bears who have different symbols on their stomachs, and you have your own, and together you kind of have a stronger power. And it might be philanthropy or something else that you connect with people on, but I just find it's a great place to meet like-minded people. That said, some people, obviously there would be a, some people would have an agenda with going, like a business agenda that they're trying to find funding for their film, or, I mean, it wouldn't just be investment for tech, but not a bad strategy. That's often overlooked. Like when I'm talking to startups early, I'm like, hey, well, like you should go to CES. You should just go show your stuff. And a lot of them, oh no, we're not ready. And there's a fear of it for some reason, but go check it out.
Nobody's ready. Like you guys are building the future. The stuff you are working on doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If you have you're very passionate about intellectual property.
Mm.
So would you say that that's like if you were saying that you're not ready, it's because you don't own the idea yet?
No, because you can file a provisional in like 2 hours. Like you just get it filed. And then you work out the details later. Do a broad base provisional and then file your patent a year later with the defined claims. But no, I think it's a confidence thing. People, in founders, you have to be willing to run uphill on glass and keep running and keep falling and keep running and just believe that you will get to the top eventually with all this running. And you can't think I could fail or I'll fall down and bleed to death. You have to just keep going. otherwise you won't succeed. So if you have this fear of, okay, me going to this tech show is going to be too much, or we're not ready, that's a concern for me with founders. I'm often like, hey, you're going to have to bring that confidence up. Like, you have to believe in the product more than anyone else. You have to be arrogant and say like, yeah, what I have is amazing, and everyone should be wanting to invest. And maybe putting that energy out there is why we didn't have any issue with investing. Although I think it's because we built like some amazing tech, and it was good concept. But I think the not ready is often a confidence thing.
Yeah, and also like the pool that will make you sharper is this pool.
Yeah,
like this group of people that will help you craft your idea, pivot when you need to, like see those things, maybe yeah. help you spot competition and understand, like, you know, where you're at. That's
yeah, a big or thing. Even like, okay, if somebody else is doing it better than me and I see that, okay, then I need to sharpen what I'm doing and do it better than them. Like competition's a good thing. But maybe it shows you a gap of the market. You're like, wait, I haven't considered that. If we hadn't entered the NASA pitch off, I wouldn't have known we had aerospace capabilities.
Isn't that amazing? So yes. So just to line that up again, you had a technology that did not have aerospace capabilities from your understanding, and you've been exploring right. a lot of verticals, right?
Yeah.
But then somebody opens the door, and then suddenly it's like you pick up the lens of aerospace and you're like, well, let me see what I got here.
Yeah. And so
suddenly you're able to see that you can do things like understand whether or not large machines are actually put together properly without taking them apart.
Yeah. Do like inspection of a large equipment, an airplane, whatever it is, and see if there's any issues before it takes off without having to open it up and put somebody in there.
That's incredibly valuable. And that wasn't your first shot?
No, nor was, you know, mining or oil, which is, you know, from being from the oil patch, it probably should have considered some of this commercial applications.
Just to lay out the parallel here. So it starts with you being able to like Google Maps for surgeons. So the inside from the outside, bringing certainty to surgery.
Yeah.
And then aerospace says, well, now you can like bring safety here. You can verify the integrity of these without all the man hours associated with the maintenance.
Well, it's similar to people. You can diagnose a rocket or an airplane just like you would a person. What's the fault?
But just as the next thing is like diagnosing the pocket of oil.
Yeah. Right?
Diagnosing the best strategies to go in and do things properly.
Yeah. And again, the reason we were we entered that pitch off is because we were going to be at South by Southwest for the book launch with Charlie. And Sam said, hey, like, here's this NASA pitch off. You guys should apply. We submitted a white paper just sort of on like, we're going to be there anyway. We might as well. Had we not been going, we wouldn't have entered. And then we won it. And they went, yeah, this is pretty valuable. Like, have you considered these applications? It's a vertical I would have never considered. Especially being from a country that doesn't have a large aerospace footprint, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's also because of what you were talking about, like developing your network. All of a sudden we have someone like Kira Blackwell to give you an opinion on yeah. what this may look like. And look at how many things she's seen.
Yeah.
As the former director of NASA iTech, she's seen everybody coming and pitching year over years.
Yeah, I love Kira. Exactly. And Kira, it's such a smart program that she set up there with looking at public tech or public, I guess, public, not government built technologies, and saying, okay, well, let's leverage this and see if these can be used for as solutions for what we're trying to solve rather than us spending taxpayers' money and developing ourselves. Let's leave it to the private market. It was so clever. But yeah, having her and, you know, all of the chief technologists or chief scientists at NASA saying, oh, this is good. Have you considered this? Like, you know, we work with DICOM imaging, and industrial CT is very similar to medical CT. It's the same except bigger. And we never would have considered that. So it's not just the network and the people and the experience. It's also like gives you fresh eyes almost when you're looking at it from other people's perspective. Explaining to people what you're doing helps you with your pitch. If you're not doing trade shows where you're sitting in a booth, doing meetings like you were at a bench, hones that skill. It's almost like media training, like speed dating.
Totally. And like, that's the funny thing about those people that train in this.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you meet anybody who's really good at anything, like I used to be part of the competitive dog training world.
Yeah.
And you'd see people that had some real like inside game.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would, there'd be things that you would recognize as a dog trainer that you'd be like, oh, wow, you're like a black belt. Nobody right. would ever do this because it's so hard and there's such a little payoff.
Right.
And that's the same thing. Like for me, as trained to interview and do public speaking and things like that, to sit on a bench and just like go through it with people, finding out about them and getting into that exchange is like a light workout.
Okay.
And it's neat to be able to do that in such a high concentration of mm-hmm. interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're from everywhere, you know, like it's amazing to hear all the stories that come out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you're taking about like coming out of, you know, or maybe even going into South by Southwest this year,
yeah.
do you still have like, you want to renew relationships that you already have?
Oh yeah.
Do you still have a mission list of things to find?
I don't know if I ever really consciously have a mission list. I mean, you would, as someone in my orbit, would probably speak better to that than what I do because I process things so quickly. But yeah, I've definitely, there's a ton of people I miss that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing where things are now. Like what's the, well, so I did some judging already. So I saw what's going to be in the pitch off, at least in the division that I was looking at. And it's really an innovative stuff. So I'm always excited by innovation. I love mentoring and helping like up and coming companies, you know, kind of avoid the usual and obvious pitfalls that we all fall into. But at least like, you know, having a mentor or somebody to say, watch out for that. Oh no. So you've fallen in that. Here's how you get out is helpful. And just inspiring. So when you see new stuff, it helps me with the era stuff. So it's not a mission list. It's just part of what I do, I guess. The interesting perspective I'm seeing is like with people who haven't been before, who are like, okay, I'm getting stuff ready to go and talk, or like, how many days should I spend there? And it's like, well, if you have a platinum pass, you should spend the whole time there, like make absolute use of it. And then follow it into the next event that makes sense for you, you know?
I totally agree. I think that watching you from the outside, I think the main thing that I see is you're looking at how you can help everybody mm-hmm. as you come into contact. So yeah. There's a few people that I think would qualify as almost like Eris's peers. And often you're masterminding with that group on like next moves and ways that you can trade and collaborate with them. And then you're also finding a swath of people that are like a few steps behind where you've tracked with Eris.
Yeah.
Right. And I always find it amazing how you make time for them, right?
Yeah.
Like the I got to interview the girls from where was it, Virginia? Like I know that Perchidi made a big announcement this week.
She's
at Berkeley. Yeah. Yep. So pretty amazing that way. But that was Sky.
Sky Labs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
It's just amazing. And to be able to hear their story and then see the acceleration that you were talking about.
Yeah.
But that's an example of some people that were that suddenly you were like, these people are, they get all my interest. Like the way you just try to pour into people is really interesting.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, it was so nice. I mean, so with the young gals there, I mean, I got to write their letters of recommendation for them for Berkeley, for example.
Wow.
Berkeley letter and, you know, the other schools that they went to. And, you know, they were not necessarily looking at those programs when we started our mentorship with them. And Alex Hertel is a big, big support with them as well. And saying to them, no, like you should be looking at these schools. You should be looking at these programs. Let's consider it. It was like, it's very fulfilling to see that and the change of course for them that you're like, oh, well, I'm happy that I was able to help them with that. It's give back, I suppose. I know people are always like, what can we do for you? And I'm like, pay it forward. Like this is, you know, you pay it forward and this helps the industry as we go. No, that's interesting. I would say that okay. So for you, what do you get out of going to these events? what would you say your major takeaways are? What's your mission list?
Oh, I'm in it for adventure. I like the little bit of chaos. I'm really attracted to stuff that's high stakes.
Yeah.
Like the for me, when we run into interesting people, especially if they have something that they're real after solving, that's like something that I'm into. It's definitely who I am as an investor. Like the for me, normally like the investment would be like the ticket to ride. But after that, you ride, right? Like the I think a good investor should be want to be part of your mental advisory board, even if they're like a listed advisor. To be to basically like be putting some RAM into this, thinking about like, hey, where can we pick up? Like, how can I contribute?
So you see it as a video game.
Yeah.
Puzzles and.
And also people and expression. I think that entrepreneurship is an expression. Like the I really am excited to see why people solve certain things. Like I talked to a founder once that was solving something that you could tell they weren't passionate about, and it was just awful. Right?
Yeah. I think you definitely have to know the gap you're solving for sure. Yeah.
Well, the gap you're solving just about killed you.
Yeah, that's true. And everyone.
You know, like a lot of people don't know that a city the size of Atlanta dies every year due to medical error. And the reason that you're after it is you almost got medical errored.
I did get medical errored. They just managed to save me. But yeah, that's true. And true. But I like puzzles. So, I mean, any puzzle that you put in front of me that was difficult, it's almost the harder it is, the more interesting it is for me to solve it. It's the intellectual challenge behind it. So I could be passionate about anything that was hard.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also what attracts me to the people that we meet there.
Yeah.
Is like to try to be successful where there's no tracks in front of you. There's very little to follow, right?
Yeah. Well, there's glass uphill. It gets you run out. Yeah, no, it's fun to be a so I used to describe it as you know, because my father's a writer and you know him. And at some point they were like, they didn't understand what I was doing at all. Neither of my parents did. And you'll speak to a lot of entrepreneurs, and this is a commonality that the people around you will say you're crazy, that this will never work. And you again have to be like, yes, it will. I'm going uphill. I'm going to get there. So I think my parents were like, we don't really understand what you're doing. Like maybe you could use your talents elsewhere. And like, maybe you should be a writer or something to that effect. And I said, yeah, but what I'm doing is, you know, I'm writing sci-fi and then making it real. I write patents and then I get to take those patents from concept to reality. And that is incredible. Like that's changing the world and doing things that haven't been done. And it's like being in a sci-fi film. Like that's incredibly addicting. And probably much like filmmaking, taking something from concept to like putting it out there. I couldn't do anything else.
And I can understand how difficult that is to basically like the people around you don't understand what it's like to want to leave. Right? Like they're maybe not drawn to anything outside of their sphere. And so when they meet somebody that is drawn to something outside of that sphere, it does sound crazy.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, for my father, probably to his parents who, you know, in that era would have been like working 9 to 5 and you had a boss and you took your paycheck and, you know, being a writer was probably crazy, right?
And that's something I find super interesting because your father's a total creative, right? It's just beautiful the way that he sees things. Like that's where his writing comes from, is his perspective. And then to basically translate to you, because I met you first.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, you know, Chandra was explaining to me that like some of her upbringing was pretty unconventional.
Yes, very unconventional. Yes.
And now meeting your dad, I'm like, okay, thank you. Cause this like just snaps it all together. I get some great perspective, but it only makes me amazed. Because you have come so far and also had such, it's almost like you had a very, like he has a strong power in this one thing. Like he's an accomplished writer, right? Mm-hmm. And you have that same power, but it's so different. It's so different in how it manifests in you.
Yeah. I mean, I think artistic art, I mean, I think so. It's a couple of things there. I'd be interested to hear more about how that fits in the perspective. Cause I'm always like, you think that you're a, at least if you're the black sheep in the family, you think you are the opposite of your parents, or maybe you're like opting for that. I'm sure some of this was like, yeah, no, I'm going to do something completely different than you guys. My mom is very, she's nonprofit. So she was creative, but in business and very business minded. And I'm probably more big picture than her. But I would say that creativity gets expressed in a lot of different ways. And, you know, like you remember Da Vinci and these great thinkers and inventors were also artists. And I think mm-hmm. that science and art are so similar, like there's a, or should be similar. And the theories of like, well, what do you mean we can't do things? Of course you can do anything. And pushing your mind to that capability is really important in what I do and what an artist does, because like you're creating a painting or a piece of writing that's never been done before. And you have to do that out of your imagination. So imagination is really important to all of that. It's funny that my rebellion was to not be an artist. No.
I just, the way that you put that to, it's almost like reminds me of a quote I read once that said, creativity is just intelligence having fun.
Yeah. Well, it is true intelligence. So, I mean, intelligence isn't the ability to memorize somebody else's original thought. It's to have original thought.
And it is an order of magnitude difference.
Yeah.
Right? Like to be able to play great music or create great music from scratch, it's not like it's like, oh yeah, and then you get from this level to this level. It's like, mm-hmm. not really. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I see entrepreneurship as an expression as well.
Oh, it is 100%. I don't know any great entrepreneurs who are not creative people and also faced like significant adversity at some point and realized that the impossible is possible. Like if you can get through something hard, you can do something hard. And it's hard to do new things that other people are like, well, what is that? And that isn't there yet. There's no, as you were saying, road in front of you to follow or path. You're just trailblazing and, you know, bushwhacking. And that's difficult, which is probably why I have a passion for like, okay, I've been there. I've got the scrapes on my arms from running through the nettles. Let me like give you some tips behind me. Don't go that way. Go that way, you know.
See, that's where I kind of think that you're a bit of a sleeper. And what I mean by that is like a car that maybe doesn't look as fast as it is.
Mm.
And with you, I think a lot of people meet you and see how you act and they assume that you come from this affluence. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you're very polished, but they don't understand, one, how switched on you are.
Mm.
And I imagine that like, oh, I like watching people's faces as they figure it out. Right? Yeah, she has game.
But my game is to not have game. I don't really notice that in people as much as you would as a bystander, but yeah.
Oh yeah, I find it interesting. Actually, that's why I'm excited to see Jesse Crossan speak at South By.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people go into a place like prison and they get crushed, right? They get messed up in a way that doesn't make them function.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse, it's like the pressure made a diamond instead of crunched everything.
Mm-hmm.
So where like he's coming out and now he's like a monster on TikTok. He's getting very interesting phone calls from some very interesting people. And he's wondering like, why am I getting all this attention? And it's like everybody else already sees it in you. It's hard to see it in yourself because you've been in a place where everybody's uniformed, right?
Well, and if you're used to your own reflection, it's not surprising to you. Like, that's just what I look like. So I think for him, that's, and me similar, like, you're like, yeah, of course I can do that. That's what I do. It's interesting because he's up and coming, or at least, well, he feels like he's up and coming, and he's like, I'm not his this is his first experience with South By at all. And I'm not sure he had much exposure to what it was previous to this, but he's excited about how it'll change things. And I think there's like some kind of concern that it won't. And it's like, there's no way it doesn't. Like
the change will likely both be internal and external.
Yeah. And it'll be an interesting, it's interesting to see when people meet peers for the first time and they're like, oh, wait, other people doing things similar to me, not necessarily the same, but like at the same caliber, mm-hmm. is quite empowering to have around you and probably gives people a confidence that they wouldn't have had elsewhere. You know, like when people are from small towns and they're like, well, I was the odd one out. And then I went to a city and, oh, there's a bunch of people like me. It's similar to that, except, you know, you find your tribe.
How old were you when you found out that you had to go other places to find a tribe?
Because I can usually find people I have commonalities with in some way. My tribe intellectually?
Yeah. Like, I remember you telling me about meeting with Mensa. Yeah. And it being a great way to have a good piece of pie.
Yeah, Scott will tell you that too. Yeah, they go for pie here. It's not what you were hoping for. You know, honestly, it was probably when I started doing this in places like Silicon Valley and CES the first time. Yeah, actually, because I went for lunch. I met some venture capitalists on a bus and they're like, come for lunch, you're interesting. And then they were like, do you want to pitch us? I was like, no, let's just have salad. And they're like, no, really, we would invest in you. Like, you should pitch something. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything, which, you know, and then we founded Aris like 3 weeks later. So, but that wasn't my first venture. So that's when I really first was like, oh, there's more people like me. Scott would have been my first peer though. Like,
but it was just the two of you.
Yeah, but you know, you'd have other bright kids that wanted to play D&D or, you know, like, there were other peers. It wasn't like I was like the only, you were in Sherwood Park. Like there were other kids that were smart and interested in smart. I shouldn't, it sounds so elitist, but there were other creative thinkers. So previous to that, I was very involved in like the arts, which is funny that I never went into it, but I was musical theater, dance, music. So I found peers there, but intellectual peers would be like Scott and some other friends that I met when I was young that were interested in like intellectual prospecting, not hair and makeup or whatever, you know, my other teen peers were interested in. So
totally. There's some people that are looking for like the next fashion trend and they are way more common than people that are looking for like the next universal trend, right?
It's easier to understand too. Like, well, at least, you know, I did some fashion stuff. So, I mean, it's easier to understand the coming trends in fashion. Well, if you're in tech, you can see, like I would say, do not be investing in crypto, invest in anything quantum right now. Aerospace as well, but like quantum is where I would be looking at. And, you know, AI, if it's true AI, yes. Machine learning, that's been around for a long time. It's just been rebranded. Metaverse, pretty interesting, but I patented a whole bunch of it. So good luck. There's not a lot left, but there's areas I'm still patenting. What else? I mean, imaging. Yep. There's some interesting stuff that's coming. And if you know the industry, you kind of know what's like an NFT is another way to launder money, like crypto. It's just basically what it is. So you can tell what's smoke and what's mirrors versus what's legit. And that's just being around it. I don't know that it's more common though. There's a lot of people in tech. I mean, there's what's the TechCrunch as a whole, you know, publication dedicated, Wired. Like there's a lot out there. Some physics stuff is interesting. There's some interesting stuff happening there with like close to cold fusion. So, I mean, I just gave you a bunch of coming trends. So I think people can do that. And it just maybe not as common to run into when you're not in, you know, areas where there's a deep concentration of people in that field.
Well, since I started spending time with you, I find myself waiting for the rest of the world to catch up. So like we're talking about like artificial intelligence, even at the machine learning level, that it has huge, amazing advantages in places like medicine. Mm-hmm. And this is like a conversation that's like 8 years or 7 years ago or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And now it's going to be great to go back to South by Southwest because people have like tangible examples of things that they've seen in machine learning.
Yeah.
Through things like ChatGPT. And that has so much attention. It makes the conversations that I have so much easier to explain, like, okay, you know how that's answering like your questions and it just passed the LSAT, which is, you know, very subjective type questions. Well, you're going to be able to do that in really neat ways. Like you're going to be able to rule out things, to be more exact, to process way faster than before. It's going to solve so many problems, especially in places that have universal healthcare.
I'll be interested how that disrupts that, because we did patent AI with medicine and diagnostics. So I'm hoping that'll be great thing to have happen. That'll change how Google's business model is, though.
Holy wow. So like as a marketer, we're all watching. Like it's literally like our friend, the marketing related to search results is really in question right now.
Yeah. And,
just to unpack this really quickly. The way marketers get in touch with people is to put ads at where they're searching, because Google is based on them bringing you a list of pages and pages of results.
That's right.
And their value is how well they can curate the results, but you still go onto somebody's else's website. And the biggest pain point is that you have to read and be subjected to all the ads and everything else like that in order to actually get what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And they actually disincentivize giving you the answer to try to keep you on their page longer and make you click through links in order to get like more value out of Google.
So, more eyes on it, yeah.
Yep. And Google...
Facebook does the same thing.
Yes.
YouTubers do the same thing. Instagram.
Between you and your ideal client profile, and then charge you a toll.
Yeah.
Now, the way AI will disrupt that is you'll just ask it the question and it will give you the answer.
It's already disrupted it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I believe that was purchased by Microsoft. So Microsoft is... investing in right away where they shoot up, because I assume it'll go into Cortana or something. But they're about to change how, and already have, how search engines are operated and monetized.
It used to be a search engine and it might now be an answer engine.
Well, that's what a search engine is, right? It's just a crawler.
I think that they did better at searching than they did at answering.
Yeah. And now, so, I mean, it's the next iteration of this. So for any of your listeners, what we're discussing, you should give a background of what technologies we're talking about.
Absolutely. And I like how you drop little breadcrumbs like that. there's going to be some things that will change, and artificial intelligence, as it gets like rolled out in the quantum manner that you're hinting at.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
It is going to change the world to the same degree of magnitude that the internet did at all. Right? We're going to go so fast.
Oh, it's already happened. That's the interesting part. Like a lot of these technologies have already happened. They just haven't like hit mainstream yet. So people are like, you know, like AI is a buzzword, but it, you know, AI is not new. I mean, true AI is a computer thinking for itself. Machine learning is a computer sourcing answers very quickly. So
which this is what we're seeing with ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's machine learning versus. Yeah.
So that's AI. Like, I think it's around 150,000 different like data points of like essential processing that it uses. And then it has the entire history of the Earth up to 2021.
Yeah. It's a giant search engine that's just compiling the answer very quickly. And the quickly is the important part, but that will change. Like Google's business is different now. So depending where they're, I think ads are where they make most of their money, I'm assuming. I have a lot of friends at Google, so I definitely don't want to see anything bad happen there. It'll change that. Maybe they put a lot of power behind YouTube suddenly and say, okay, we need to really like push this. This is where we're going to get ads and eyes on ads versus our giant crawler.
They're still all trying to get money from real people.
Yeah.
So you got to keep humans in the loop.
Yeah.
And influencers and people that are on video in places like YouTube, TikTok, and Reels. Mm-hmm. That Which group is getting more valuable.
Yeah.
But text-based marketing is so fast and cheap to produce now that I think that the cost of producing garbage has got to zero. There's going to be a bunch of garbage.
Well, and I think you'll see more and more product placement in content.
Totally agree. The answer like, will come with product placement.
Like, I just happen to be drinking a Coca-Cola while I'm doing, like Jesse, for example, like he does videos about how he used to be incarcerated. And I don't watch a ton of them, but I know he does quite a large capacity of them. Would be drinking a Coca-Cola or making toast, having a submarine sandwich from Subway. Like it'll just be more casual, much like it was in television 10, 15 years ago, how, you know, they'd be driving a certain car in Fast and the Furious. I'm assuming that car, I didn't watch Fast and the Furious, but I assume it was like a Cavalier or something because everybody was all about those around then. Or
yeah, the but like you're
Honda Civic. Exactly right.
I think that we're going to see product placement in like the responses from the AI. So imagine that ChatGPT, you ask it a question about like can you rent RVs, and it says yes, here are three locations near you,
right? And we can say like
Translate this into Vietnamese, and then below the translation it will say if you'd like to learn Vietnamese, here's a website.
Well, and then you'll get public pushback saying like, oh, I don't want it advertising to me, and then they'll have to sneaky advertise it a bit more and be like, oh, the best, you know, place near, the closest place near you has this brand, and casually mention it maybe.
Yep, I think that that's exactly where we're going to see marketing go.
Yeah, I agree.
I've taken you over time already.
And are
I
you?
Do want to respect your time because you're good. Because I know that you are always very busy, but I'm also excited to have you back. A little bit of time after South by Southwest, we can go in and kind of debrief on some of the things that we see, because the cool thing about places like this is there could be a giant major announcement. Like we are likely to see some major responses to the Microsoft purchase of what's the company called?
Chat AI, is that it? Or no, what is it?
Yeah, but it's like the company that owns it.
Microsoft owns it now.
Yeah, technically yes.
It'd be interesting to see like and how things have changed, you know, what changed by going there. What did we do? Yeah, I think that's interesting. Yeah.
OpenAI is the company.
There you go.
They acquired OpenAI, or at least 49% of it, for $10 billion. So super cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome. I'm always willing to with you.
Well, I really appreciate it. This has been Chandra Devam. She is the CEO and co-founder of Aris MD and an amazing friend of mine. Thanks again for coming on.
You're so welcome. I'll see you later.
Cheers.